Hello and welcome to the Queensland Freemason podcast. I am Brother Luke Eland and I'm sitting here today with my friend Graham. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. I'm Brother Graham Schultz and I'm the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia.
And this is part three of a three-part series, funnily enough, on the number 33. So this is podcast 33, part three. We have been discussing, I guess, the allegorical nature of the number 33, the fact that it appears in our society quite a bit, and some of the reasons for that. I'm not going to go back over them because you will have heard them in podcast number 33, part one, and 33, part two. But effectively, this is a number, if this is you're listening to this yourself, that appears a lot in society, and we've discussed some of the reasons, in our opinion, of why that's the case, and we're going through 33 different meanings for the number 33. So as part of this recap, we are just going to say that these meanings have been collected from various different places over the internet. Certainly, it's been a great resource for it, and there's some very interesting ones there. Some of them are actually what some Masons believe to be the number 33 and the meaning behind it, but I frankly think that they need to understand what an allegory is if they think that. So we're going to start with number 23 out of our list of 33. I'll talk about this one, Graham, because I know a little bit about it. It's the namesake of a private club called Club 33, located in Disneyland in New Orleans Square. It's the only place, as far as I'm aware, in Disneyland's theme park. I'm pretty sure they're talking about the theme park in
New Orleans,
California, in Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the only place you can drink alcohol in the whole place, which is interesting enough. But there's apparently lots of conspiracy theories about Club 33 because they've hosted many important international and national meetings there. So
yeah.
I'd imagine people who attend those meetings might like a beer or two, and that seems to be the only place you can get one.
So. Yeah.
Club 33 in Disneyland. I'm pretty sure Walt Disney was a Freemason too. Yeah. I might be wrong about that, but I think legend has it at least that he was.
Yeah. And the next one that you've got here, number 24, is an interesting one from Uruguay. The 33 Orientals were a group of Uruguay's national independence heroes that liberated the country in 1825 from the Brazilian Empire. And the name is due for the leaders, were all 33rd degree Freemasons, the 33 Orientals. One of Uruguay's national states and its capital city is named after them. It's amazing.
I think Uruguay might have a lot of Freemason stuff country, because we've got the next one down here is number 25. A religious image of the Virgin Mary from the 18th century is known in Uruguay as a Uruguayan equivalent of the Virgin of 33.
Yeah.
Consecrated by Pope John Paul II on his visit to Uruguay in 1988. I'm speaking of Pope John Paul II. Apparently, one of the people in my street have a chair that he sat on when he visited Australia.
Amazing.
I went to an real estate open house one day, and one of the selling features apparently was there was this garden chair that the Pope sat on. Well, whether or not it's true, I'm not sure. I'm sure it was, but it didn't look any different to the chair sitting next to it.
Well, you look at how things develop over the years, and how, you know, look at the Shroud of Turin and those things.
They bring it out recently too, I think, for the first time in quite a while.
How things become more important the older they get, you know, rather than you and I. But, you know, it's amazing how the passing of time will create a sense of
legend and a story.
Yeah, a history and heritage. And you and I have both read Dan Brown's book, The Lost Symbol.
I have. That's quite a good book. We've done a book review of that one, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. And that's number 26 on your list, which was... The number 33 was discovered to lead to the essential meaning of life, or the Bible, in his 2009 novel.
I think that might be a stretch, calling it the meaning of life. No, it's number 42 is the meaning of life. Douglas Adams beat Dan Brown to that, so I think Dan Brown has
It was a movie called The Meaning of Life, wasn't there, too?
Yeah,
I'm being facetious.
A different meaning, and we don't endorse that particular movie, but at the same time, the number 33 meaning. Would have come up in there too, because I believe one of the members of Monty Python there is a Freemason too.
Yeah.
They've done a few sketches about us through the Python.
That's right, yeah.
There's a classic one where they're employing a person and everything goes wrong in the thing and the person gets the job apparently because they're a Mason. If life was that simple, that would be terrific for us Masons, but it's not quite like that.
And the handshake sketch.
Speaking of the great handshake, did you see the photo on Facebook of the excellent door handle that was... When you open the door, you have to shake its hand.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
I don't know where it came from, but we talked in in podcast number 32, we interviewed a lot of the young Freemasons from the Freemason group, and one of them sent this amazing photo of a door handle, and I think that would be an awesome door handle.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. That was a beauty.
Oh, that was Carl that did that. Mm. Carl, if you got a few more pictures like that, I'd certainly like to include them on the website. There's some great ones there. So we're talking about the numbers 33, and we're looking here at that was the also the alleged age of the Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedonia, died at the age of 33. It seems like an unlucky age. Maybe it's a bit like the 27 Club, where a lot of famous people died at the age of 27. Did you know
people
that?
Died young. People died young then. You know, they did, because if they weren't fighting wars, there was so much disease, and it was, you know, you were lucky to get to 30 or 40 in those days, you know.
Can't say the same about all the celebrities that died at 27. If it was 33, well, people would think it was some sort of conspiracy theory that we were bumping them all off.
There's quite a few. It's self-induced, you know.
Amy Winehouse, James Dean. There's
look at them all.
I think there's actually a very significant list of them. Mama Cass, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Number 28, we have...
this is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. This is interesting about the 33rd parallel.
Out of all of the things that I read, I have a feeling that this is probably in particular the one that causes the most conspiracy theories, I would have thought, or at least it'd be close to it on this list.
But if you go around the world, if you walked around the world on the 33rd parallel, gee, there's a lot of options for things to be happening, isn't there?
There were too many for me to put on this list, actually. Yeah.
But a lot of pivotal events have occurred there, like the American Civil War started on the 33rd parallel, and Roosevelt died at Little White House on the 33rd parallel, and there's so many of them.
I got quite a few from that list, actually, because I thought that that's quite interesting. But again, I'm sure if we went to the 32nd parallel or 34th parallel and looked for historical events, and again, it's part of why we're doing this, because I wanted to just highlight the fact that just because it's mentioned on the 33rd parallel, we could have done this for number 34, I'm sure, but there's no woohoo factor about number 34, number 32.
Your next one's a bit about that too, isn't it?
It is. Apparently, we are talking here, there have been, like we're saying, many pivotal events. Number 29 is the Launch Complex 33 was part of the US post-Second World War missile effort located near the 33rd parallel.
Interesting stuff. And number 30 is the famous weather balloon crash at Roswell, New Mexico, near the 33rd parallel on the 22nd of the 11th.
Yeah, funny that.
1947, so add 22 and 11.
And you get
33,
and then have a look at the next date after.
Yeah, what's the next one?
19 and 47, if you add that up too. I think if my maths gets me correctly, you'll get something close to... Oh, no, you know, it's not 33.
No,
it's I'm not. Reading too much into that.
Right? Yeah, you're thinking 2013.
I am.
Yeah.
And you pointed that out too. I didn't think of that. But yeah, I think that's interesting. The famous weather balloon incident. I'm not sure if it was a weather balloon or not, but that's a very different podcast to be covering that particular topic.
Yeah.
But the number 31 is similar to it, which is the Phoenix Lights. It's a very famous UFO incident. I genuinely think it's a UFO. It doesn't mean there was some green alien controlling this thing, but there was certainly something unidentified over the air of Phoenix, and there's lots of footage on the internet about it. And that happened on the 13th of March, 1997. And I like this one because of where it was near. It was near Luke Air Force Base.
Oh, well, of course.
I'm
a bit
self-indulgent there, Graham, but I'm known for that.
Well, you know, since the last podcast, I have now been a Freemason for 33 years.
Really? Oh, that'll be fact number 34.
Well, no, we're adding it into this one. We're adding it into 31 because that's such an interesting one. Like Luke Air Force Base.
Yes, I didn't know there was a Luke Air Force Base.
Graham is 33. He has been a Freemason for 33 years.
Well, that's pretty interesting. That's a long time. Congratulations too, Graham. We should have a celebration and a cake in the shape of number 33 for that.
Let's do that.
That'd be a good idea, actually. People would think we're crazy turning up with that. Actually, this is our 33rd podcast.
I'll do number 32 because I know you want to do number 33.
Yeah, I do want to do number
32. So number 32 is a legendary number used by the Illuminati, which is, you know, you're talking about conspiracy theories and, you know, you can make your own decisions about the Illuminati. But, you know, yes, there were Freemasons who were members of the Illuminati. Yes, there were members who were part of the Boston Tea Party. Yes, there were Freemasons involved in lots of significant events in Australian history as well. That doesn't mean that they were there because they were Freemasons. It means they were there because of that particular point in time. That's how they were involved, you know.
I also think that this particular one about the Illuminati, I think that came up a lot in Freemasonry because Thomas Jefferson wrote letters to George Washington complaining about them. But I do think, and that they're becoming members of the Lodge, but like anything, it's very difficult for us to speculate about something that happened a couple hundred years ago. Maybe we'll get a phone call from them. Lots of people accuse us of being members of the Illuminati, but I really haven't yet been to one of their meetings, if there is such a thing.
No.
So I kind of think this is more myth and legend than actual reality. But look, I'm covering number 33. This is a funny one, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and my favorite podcast happens to be one called the No Agenda Podcast, and they are obsessed by the number 33. And every time they talk about the number 33, they ding their bell and they make a bit of a fuss about it. And that's a podcast done by Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. It's basically a podcast where they talk a lot about the media and they break down a lot of media discussions. I'm not saying people should go and listen to it, but they do mention the number 33 a lot. And by me mentioning them in a Masonic podcast talking about the number 33, I am sure they'll mention this podcast. A bit of self-promotion there as well, Grandma.
Fantastic.
So that pretty much wraps up our podcast for our series on number 33. I wanted to do this special because I think it's important to highlight what we've talked about. And if you if you haven't heard part one and two, go back and have a listen to that. And Graham, I'm pretty pleased that we've now made 33 podcasts. In fact, I've made a few more than that, and I think that's a good sign. As far as I'm aware, we're still the only jurisdiction making podcasts this regularly. I don't know of any others that do, and I hope to encourage if you're from another jurisdiction, get an iPhone microphone, get an iPhone or an iPad or some other device and record them. It's not that hard, is it, Graham?
Thanks, Luke. Happy to meet. Sorry to part.
And until next time, thank you.